May the Lord help us to commence our service this morning with hymn 950. 950. What object's this which meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate, which fills my mind with such surprise as wonder to create? Hymn 950.
from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the Gospel according to John, chapter 19. The Gospel according to John, chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in a judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews. for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it might be, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.' These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, 'I thirst.' Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, 'A bone of him shall not be broken.' And another, and again another scripture saith, 'They shall look on him whom they pierced.' And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word. May he help us in prayer. Most merciful and gracious and almighty and eternal Lord God, we come before thee this morning desiring to worship thee. We pray, gracious God, that thou wilt draw our thoughts, our attention to those things that we have read together this morning, to those things, Lord, that we think of particularly this day, which we call Good Friday. We pray that our meditation and our considerations of thee may be sweet to our never dying souls. We pray the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon the reading and the preaching of thy word here today. Do bless us, Lord, with the felt sense of thy presence. And Lord, may we have the divine application of thy holy word. We pray, Lord, that thou bless us with that help that we need. Thou knowest, Lord, that we are poor creatures of the earth. Lord, we pray that thou would help us. Send us that help that we need. Deliver us, Lord, from unnecessary thoughts. Deliver us, Lord, from the sinfulness of our minds and hearts by nature. Deliver us, Lord, from the power of sin and Satan. Shut him out of his place, and Lord, shut us in with thyself. We pray that this Easter season we may truly see by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we may know those times of meditation, of thinking upon him, thinking of that spotless life, that glorious death and resurrection. We pray, Lord, that those that have gathered this morning, whether here present or listening in to the service, may, Lord, know thy blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit, that he may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to us each. And Lord, may we have the application by the power of the Holy Spirit
that the things that we read and speak of this morning may be made powerful and effectual. We pray that seeking souls might find this day that which they long for. Those that are seeking to know a personal interest, that these things were done for them, we pray that thou wilt take them by the hand, as it were, and lead them to Calvary, that they may be among those that are favoured to by faith sit down and watch him there. We pray that we may know that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness by experience in the removing of guilt and condemnation, in the washing away of sin, in the precious blood of Jesus. May we know that sprinkling of blood. May we know that putting away of sin. May we know what it is to find that everlasting peace, an everlasting salvation, a removal of guilt and condemnation, the bringing into true gospel liberty through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. May the Apostle Paul's desire be ours, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We pray to be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. We pray that we may know that gracious work within our hearts, that thou would overcome by thy grace, by thy almighty power, that the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus may be made known in each heart, in bringing out of darkness into the marvellous light and liberty of the gospel, whether for the first time or whether for that fresh application, or that there might be those that sit in darkness are brought into the marvellous light of the gospel. Lord Jesus, we beseech thee that thou lift up the light of thy countenance upon us and shine with thy light and thy love into cold hearts, warming us, renewing us, restoring unto us the joy of thy salvation. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from the lukewarmness in our religion. Lord, who make us lively in the things of God. Oh Lord, we pray that the love of God may be shed abroad in each of our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. May we be among those that receive, that we might receive something from thee. Oh Lord, we pray that thou send us not empty away this day. Grant us something to take home, something to beat out, to live on in the coming days, some food for our souls. Satisfy thy poor with bread. Breaking the bread of life in our midst, we pray. Lord, do bless this gathering with thy presence. May it be said of this gathering, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Lord, we pray that desire of the Greeks of old, we would see Jesus. Well, then, Lord, do grant us those glimpses. May there be that breaking through and entering in. Oh, Lord, do cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us this day. Lord, do bless those that are unable to be here today. Be with them where they are. Desire to be here if they could. Lord, do remember us each in our individual pathways. Lord, thou knowest what lies before us each. We know not, Lord, what a day nor an hour may bring forth. We pray that in the untrodden steps of our lives, that the cross of Christ may be something that is often in our view. When at times we feel that the way is too hard, when at times we may feel things are too difficult. Lord, when we are not in our right minds, when we find the carnality of our hearts, when we find our besetting sins being stirred up by the enemy of souls, when we find a coldness and indifference, oh, may the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ be brought before us. Oh, and may we find the power of the cross, that wondrous death, the perfect answer to all of our condition. We pray then that thou grant us thy gracious leading. We pray that we may be led and taught of thee. Lord, we pray that we may prove thy mercy and thy love. We pray that in our meditations this morning, in our considerations, as we desire to consider him, oh, that we may, Lord, see something of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the everlasting love of God. We pray then that thou wilt pour into us that dying love of the dear Redeemer. We pray then, Lord, do grant us thy blessing and supply all that we need. Be for us and in us all that is needed. Do, Lord, forgive us our many, many sins. Wash us and cleanse us in that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, may there be the application of the blood of Jesus. Oh, sprinkle that precious blood on us, Lord, in our worship. May our worship ascend through Jesus Christ, our mediator, and be found acceptable in thy sight, our Father in heaven. And so we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant us thy blessing and thy help, and the power and the glory be thine. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, in thy precious and worthy name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 688. 688. Ye that pass by, behold the man of griefs condemned for you, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursue. 688.
will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 19. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from those three words in the middle of verse 30. It is finished. The Gospel according to John, chapter 19, and those three words in the middle of verse 30. It is finished. The whole verse reads, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost." Those three words, "It is finished." I don't think there's a two-letter word that contains more in it than this at the beginning of our text. This word, "it." It is finished. Yes, for the Lord Jesus, the sufferings of his most holy soul and his most holy body were at an end. His sufferings, his humiliation was at an end. But there, dear friends, is so much more that is contained in this word, "it." Yes, the cup of suffering. I mean, friends, how can we truly, we cannot fathom the vastness of that cup of suffering. We cannot understand fully the depth of suffering and agony that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, endured. It. Such a small word, but containing so much. It is finished. Friends, what a path of suffering. You know, this statement by our Lord Jesus Christ is a statement of victory. That the sufferings had come to an end. And why had they come to an end? Because it was finished. It was finished. The Lord Jesus, in that prayer in the upper room, as recorded by John, in John 17, says, doesn't he? Verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth." This is bound up in that word, "it." "I have glorified thee." You and I, isn't that the whole duty of man, as recorded in the Word of God, to glorify our Maker?
And do we? Friends, we fail in that, and we fail in everything. But he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. He had glorified Almighty God. The Father was glorified in the Son. The glory of God is seen, isn't it? In the person and work of Jesus Christ, I have glorified thee on the earth. This is it. I have finished. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It is finished. The work of redemption, the bringing back to God of his poor, unworthy, fallen, sinful people. This in which we consider this Good Friday are the transactions of the covenant of grace, the outworkings of those covenant obligations that were given to the Son by the Father, which the Son willingly received from the Father. He was given a gift of a people. The names were written in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. They were to be born in sin and shapen in iniquity through the fall of Adam. The entire Church of God found dead in trespasses and in sins, as far off from God as sheep can run. But the mercy, the love of God is in giving his only begotten Son, so that these poor lost sheep of the covenant of grace might be recovered from their lost, ruined condition and brought back and made acceptable and received as children, as heirs of heaven. To be given a place in everlasting glory. Oh, what a thing then. It. Oh, this word it contains the all of that which was bound up in that covenant. All that was prophesied in the Old Testament. All that was set before the Israelite of old, it is all contained in this. It is finished. Oh, what a wondrous, what a glorious, What an awful, solemn thing. It. Oh, it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ. In that taking of that gift from the Father, it was necessary for the eternal Son of God to come down, to come right where his people were. They had no power, no will of their own to save themselves, could not, would not, such as their fallen, lost state, that it was necessary. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. He must come down right where they are. He must, as it were, in this great act of love and grace and mercy, spread his everlasting arms underneath them each and lift them up from their lost, ruined state. He must go right down. He must go underneath, beneath. He must take the lowest place. And, oh, what do we see? Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Oh, there's a glorious work of redemption. It was finished. The work of redemption. What was that bringing in of an everlasting salvation? It was necessary and vital that a sacrifice was made. Sin must be punished. If the church of God is to be saved for all eternity from its sin, is not to spend eternity in hell, which it deserves, which every one of them in that covenant deserves, to be found in everlasting punishment, is that not to be the case? If they are to be saved from that, it is to be saved from their sin and from the punishment of it. And it, their sin, must be laid on him. The redemption of his people is first in this, the removal, the putting on him of their sin. We use a word, children, called imputation. And this is the doctrine of imputation. And this is the taking off from the church the great load of sin that is theirs, and it is a putting it on him. As you would take a burden off maybe your own back and put it on someone else, it comes off of you and it goes onto them. That is the transaction. The taking of sin. Your burden and your sin. Your load of sin. Your every sin, child of God. Taken from off of you and put on him. And here we find it. In Gethsemane's garden. And right through to the cross at Calvary. He who knew no sin, who was spotless and innocent and pure and holy, was made sin. A substitute. He took it on himself. He took it off of his people. He became responsible for their sin. the punishment that was due to them was now due to him, because he became their surety. He became their substitute. And oh, what a wondrous thing. What an awful thing. My soul, the Lord Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The horrors of the Garden of Gethsemane. The view of that load of guilt and sin. The holy, spotless Lamb of God, pressed in the olive press at Gethsemane. The old Israelite of old, that there would be, wouldn't there, that confession of sin. And we have that hymn, don't we, which so beautifully says it, my faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine. And there would be a leaning, a pressing, a bearing down. As there's a confession of sin, there's a leaning and a pushing down on that sacrifice on the altar, a pushing down on the head. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. There's that imputation then of sin from the sinner to the Saviour of sinners. And then there's the imputation in the opposite direction. There is the glorious righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to the sinner. The work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious robe of righteousness, which at Calvary the last threads of that glorious robe have been so wondrously woven in. The obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our disobedience is imputed to him, and his obedience is imputed to the Church of God. And the righteousness of Christ is imputed to the sinner. It is finished. At Calvary it was finished. The robe of righteousness was finished. This final act of submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ the man submits to the holy will of God in a perfect act of obedience, declining nothing. Oh, the final precious threads, golden threads are woven into that robe. And a life has been lived. And that life was finished. It is finished. Yes, the sufferings are finished. And thereby the life that is the glorious covering of the Church of God, the white robes of a glorious profession, a life lived that was spotless, fulfilled every demand of the holy law of God, that life was finished. It is finished. The putting away of sin was finished. And the finishing of that glorious robe, that was finished. It is finished. Friends, these things that we see before us at Calvary, oh, what significance they have. The death of our Lord Jesus, that voluntary death, the laying down of his life, the offering up of himself as a sacrifice to God. All these things have an eternal weight. I wonder if there's a few this morning that have maybe come to the house of God, and you find your own heart is plagued with guilt and condemnation. The Lord has begun in you, in the stirring up of your heart. You have that sense that you're not right. The Lord has been pleased to show you something of your own self. You come to the house of God this morning, and everything feels not right. You're not ready. You're troubled. Maybe the day itself, Good Friday, it doesn't seem too good in any way. Oh, how different it will be. How different you'll leave this house of prayer this morning. The Lord seal this into your soul. It is finished. Oh, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus were over. Every sin of the Church of God had been dealt with. They'd all been laid on him, and he'd bore them all away. The Lord Jesus saw the end of that suffering. He endured to the very end of it. When that suffering had its end, when the putting away of sin was complete, when there was no more sin left chargeable to the Church of God, there was this triumphant declaration: it is finished. My mind went to that hymn 306. Brethren, verse 4, brethren, in a state so sad, when temptation sees us, when our hearts we feel thus bad, let us look to Jesus. He that hung upon the cross for his people bleeding, now in heaven sits for us ever, always interceding. Vengeance, when the Saviour died, quitted the believer. Justice cried, I'm satisfied. Now, henceforth forever, "It is finished," said the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word, "Full salvation's in it." Oh, it is finished. Oh, this is sweet and precious news. Oh, this is the joy and the rejoicing of the Church of God. This is the triumphant, this is the victorious cry of the conquering Saviour of sinners. It is finished. There is no more sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? It is finished. The power of sin, the curse of sin, that curse, it is taken away. An everlasting salvation is brought in. This is that triumphant cry. It is finished. The Lord Jesus has gotten the victory. Death for the believer has no power. The dominion and power of Satan has been destroyed. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? It is finished. For the believer, that solemn curse, the solemn judgment, the soul that sins against God shall die, and die eternally in eternal punishment in hell. But the soul in Jesus Christ, who's bound up in this wondrous, triumphant cry, "It is finished," lives, and lives no more to die. It is finished. The sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ were over. There is no punishment for those that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, it is finished. It is finished. There's another hymn my mind went to, and it was this 763, verse 3. "Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Was it? It is finished." But was that it? That it that is bound up, which contains the everlasting safety of the people of God, that the sufferings and death and the putting away of sin, it was for the church. It was for his dearly loved people who were loved with an everlasting love from all eternity. But the point this morning, dear friends, is this, which the hymn writer says: Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. It is finished. Is it finished for you? Is it finished for me? Is the it that is finished, that the Lord Jesus wondrously, triumphantly declared at Calvary, is that it, the vital point for you this morning? Oh, you've seen it was finished. As a bystander, as an observer, as one that looks on, you see it is finished for the church of God. You see that it is over for them. You see the way is made through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's a new and living way made. And you see it leads to eternal glory. And you see it is being vital and essential and necessary. But was it for me? You know it was for the church. You know it was for his people. Was it for me? When he cried out, it is finished. Oh, was my name in his most holy bosom? Was my name in his most holy mind? Was it? It is finished. As my sins were washed away in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Was it finished for me as a glorious scapegoat took away the sins of the church into the land of forgetfulness, never to be seen or remembered anymore? Was my sin laid on him when he bore it all away on the tree at Calvary? Is that the vital thing for you? Is that the question you long to answer? To have answered, it is finished. Oh, friends, may the Saviour's own voice be breathed into your never dying soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is finished. It is finished. Oh, he couldn't cry out, it is finished, and one of his sheep be still lost, be forgotten, be away on the hillside, overlooked. It wouldn't be finished if it wasn't completed. Every jewel in his crown must be placed, and the building and the gathering in of the church of God, that will be finished one day. When the witnessing of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of all of his people will have been completed, then time will be no more. The work of redemption is finished. The ingathering of his people into the kingdom of his grace and glory is not yet finished. Time extends so that all of the lost sheep might be brought into a saving knowledge, and this witnessed in their own soul personally, that the Lord Jesus has lived and died and rose again for them. That ingathering, that is not yet complete. The church is safe and secure. But they all must know it. They all must prove it. They all must feel it in their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of life made precious. The dear Lord Jesus himself made their all and in all. Is he? Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is he? Is he precious to you this morning? Sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Oh, is he most needful to you? Is his life and death and resurrection vital, essential, most necessary for your life here below and your eternity to come? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Oh, we want to see something of the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is in the glorious death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. It, his death, it was public. It was unnatural. It was unnatural. He didn't die a natural death. He died a horrific death. Oh, he died a death like no other. The anguish of his most holy soul, the sufferings in his most holy body, the turning away of the Father's face from his only begotten Son, whom he dearly loved and had declared his love. Yet he could not look on his own Son. Oh, may the Lord lead us in our own private meditations. Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know the answer? Do you have to come like we've just sung and creep beside him as a worm and see him bleed for me? Do you know why the Father turned his face? Dear sinner, this morning, do you feel that responsibility? You know, you want to know something of the dear Saviour's love. Read Luke's account of the death of our Lord Jesus. And while it was being endured, he so willingly, so freely received that dying thief who turned in his need to the dear Saviour of sinners and put out the most sweetest of all petitions, Lord, remember me. And while it was venting itself on the dear Saviour of sinners, while it was being dealt with by our Lord Jesus Christ, what did he say? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was finished. Poor sinner, those of you that feel your burden of sin this morning, oh, may you, by his grace, even this day, be led to look upon him whom you have pierced, to take up that precious request in your lips, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, remember me in love and in mercy, in the putting away of my sin. And may the Holy Spirit apply that word today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because it is finished. Amen.
Let us conclude with hymn 689. On the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see, while his love my soul surprising cries, I suffered all for thee. Hymn 689.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.